Glory to God. Our starting series for this year, by the direction of the Holy Spirit through our leaders, is God wants to move through you. God wants to move through you. Glory to God. Say it with me. God wants to move through me. Put your hand on yourself. God wants to move through me. Now turn to your neighbor, preach to them just a little bit. Say, God wants to move through you. Yes, yes, yes. And you know what? I believe we have not begun to realize what those words really mean. Through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, we see God moving. We see God's love in demonstration. We see God's righteous judgment. We see God's mercy. We see God's provision. We see God's protection. We see God's power in manifestation. Throughout the Bible, from cover to cover, we see God moving. In the Old Testament, and we won't turn there, I believe that the examples that we're going to start off with tonight, we're all familiar with, but I'll give you the chapters that they are in. If you want to turn to them later, you're more than welcome to do so. But everyone in here familiar with the story of Moses and the Red Sea? If you were here with us last year, Pastor Akui went through that story almost every Friday. Moses and the Red Sea. So we are well familiar with the story of Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. But in case you're not, it's in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. When Moses and the Israelites were backed up against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was hot on their heels, Moses called out to God for help, right? And God yelled out of heaven and said, Red Sea, open up so my children can walk through. Is that how it happened? Are you sure? Are you sure? Sure. Yes, that is not how it happened, right? Moses cried unto God, and God said, why do you cry unto me? Tell the people to move forward, lift up your rod, stretch your hand over the sea, the Red Sea, and it will divide. We're not going through the whole story, but in this story, did God move? Yes, he did. God moved in this story. How did he move? Through Moses. Through man. Did Moses have a part in the parting of the Red Sea? Yes, he did. God moved through Moses. And this is just one instance where God moved through Moses. We know there's many other instances where he moved through Moses. Let's look at another example. Abraham and the promised son. Very familiar story as well, right? Everyone here know who Abraham is? Put your hand up if you don't know who Abraham is. Okay, see, no hands are going up. Pastor Arthur, was your hand up? Oh, okay. But the story of Abraham and the promised son is found in Genesis chapters 12 to 17. And here God made a covenant with Abraham, and he said to Abraham, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And then he said, now Abraham, I need you to listen very closely. Take a few steps back, move a little bit to the left, and an angel will fly down and give you a baby, give you the promised son. Are you sure that's not how it happened? God didn't say, Abraham, where's your catching mitt? Get ready to catch your son. Is that how it happened? No, it's not how it happened. God promised a son to Abraham when he was 75 years old. And it wasn't until 25 years later, about 25 years later, that the promised son was finally born. But the Bible tells us about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20 and 21. It'll be on the screen. Don't turn there for the sake of time. But in Romans chapter 4, verses 19, 20, and 21, it says, and not being weak in faith. Who's not being weak in faith? Abraham, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12, it says, therefore, from one man, what man? Abraham. From one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Again, who promised? God did. God promised. Was it important for Abraham and Sarah to believe in the promise? Yes, it was. Who brought the promise to pass? God did. God brought the promise to pass, but God would not have been able to bring the promise to pass without Abraham and Sarah doing their part. Did God have a part? Yes, he did. Did Moses and Sarah have a part? Yes, they did. And God, you see, God desires to bless. They had many wonderful parts. God desires to bless. He desires to move. He wants to grant the desires of our hearts. He wants to make dreams come true. And he wants to make others' dreams come true through you. But he cannot freely move in this realm because he is a spirit. And this realm that we are in is a physical realm, right? This realm that we live in is a physical realm. And the only way you and I can exist in this realm is because we have these bodies that carry around our spirits, the real you on the inside. This is how we're able to exist in this realm. And God needs the body of Christ to rise up so that he can move through us. He wants to move through you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he wants to move through you. God wants to meet the needs and the needs of humanity, and the way that he has chosen to meet the needs of this world is through you. It's through you and I. One more story from the Old Testament. Remember, because we said from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations, we see God moving. Another familiar story, the walls of Jericho. Anyone here not know the walls of Jericho story? Okay, good. No hands are going up. It's found in Joshua chapter 6. But God told Joshua, Joshua, I'll take care of the walls for you. Just tell everyone to make sure they're at least 10 feet from the wall tomorrow so that they don't disappear when I make the wall disappear. Just 10 feet from the wall. And then when everyone was 10 feet from the wall, then God waved his hand and the wall disappeared magically into thin air. No, that's not how it happened, right? God gave Joshua specific directions on what to do. March around the city once for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around the city seven times. And on the seventh time, the priests are going to sound the trumpets. And when the people hear the trumpets, shout. And when they shout, the walls will fall down flat. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Did God move in that situation? Yes, he did. Did man have a part to play, though? Absolutely. Now, these are just three examples from the Old Testament, but there's so many more, and it will take us all weekend to go through them. And I know you'd love to stay here all weekend, but we've got stuff to do. But just from these three examples alone, we see that God moved, and he moved through man. Yes, he moved through man. And couldn't God have just waved his hand over the Red Sea and caused it to part? Couldn't he have just caused a baby to appear out of thin air into Abraham's arms? Couldn't he have just tapped the walls of Jericho with his pinky and caused it to fall down flat? I believe he could have. But that is not the way that he has chosen to accomplish his will here on this earth. He has chosen to accomplish his will through you. He has chosen to manifest his love through you. He has chosen to manifest his power through you, through us. Through his body. Say this with me. I am the body of Christ.
I am the body of Christ.
And God wants to move through me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Now, let's look at the New Testament, because we are living in the New Testament times. John chapter 5. Now, go with me to John chapter 5 in your Bibles. John chapter 5. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. God wants to move through you. Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
Yeah. Me too. I believe it too. John chapter 5 from the New King James Translation, beginning in verse 5. And this is the account of Jesus healing the man at the pool of Bethesda. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Is God moving here? Yeah. And in verse 19, skip on down to verse 19, and Jesus tells us what happened. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he, the Father, does, the Son also does in like manner." Is God moving through Jesus? In this story that we just read, is the power of God in manifestation? Yes, it is. The power of God is in manifestation through Jesus, through a man anointed with the Spirit of God. And God moving did not end with Jesus. God moving through man did not end with Jesus. Jesus trained 12, and the 12 trained others, and those others trained others, and others, and others, and others, and others, and others, and you're here today for the same reason. God wants to move through you the same way he moved through Jesus. God wants to move through you the same way, the exact same way he moved through Jesus. Our main text for this series is John chapter 14, verse 12. You can go with me there in your Bibles. John chapter 14, verse 12. And I'll be reading from the King James Version first, and then we'll go through a few different translations. And this is our main text for this series. John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," I mean, say verily once. Okay, what is it? What is it? What is it? But he said it twice. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," and who is this speaking? Jesus. And if you have the King James Version of the Bible, it's in red letters, right? And what do we say about red letters around here? Red letters trump all other letters. As Jesus is talking. You want to pay attention when Jesus is talking. He said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Woohoo! The International Standard Version reads this way, "Truly," this is no lie, "truly, truly I tell all of you emphatically, the one who believes in me will also do what I'm doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." The God's Word translation says, "I can guarantee this truth." What's the truth? That those who believe in me will do the things that I am doing. They will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. The CEV translation, Contemporary English Version, it says, I tell you for certain that if you have faith in me, you will do the same things I am doing. You will do even greater things now that I am going back to the Father. And this is before Jesus ascended into heaven when he's saying this. And then one more translation. This is the Young's literal translation. It says, verily, verily, I say to you, he who is believing in me, the works that I do, that one also shall do, and greater than these he shall do, because I go on to my Father. Jesus said, right? This is Jesus talking. He said, he that believeth on me, if you have faith in me, the one who believes in me, he who is believing in me. Raise your hand if you believe in him. That's almost every hand in here. Okay, raise your hand if you don't believe in him. Thank you, Lord. So this here, Jesus is talking about you. This here, Jesus is talking about you and I. The works, what does Jesus say? The works that I do, that one, which one, Jesus, which one? The one who believes in me, that one shall do also, and greater than these he shall do, because I go unto my Father. The one who believes in him. And we are all that one here tonight, right? We can do the works that Jesus did and greater. And greater. Say with me, I believe it.
I believe it.
So you're saying, Jenny, you're saying that I can teach just like Jesus taught? Yes. And I'm not saying that he is. Jesus is. So he's saying that I can heal like him? Yes. So he's saying that I can love unconditionally like him? Yes. He's saying that I can show mercy just like him? Yes, yes. He's saying that I can forgive like him? Yes. Jesus is saying that I can raise the dead like him? Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. Yes, 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 just like Jesus. He is our ultimate example in life and in ministry. Jesus on earth was God on display and you on display. He was showing you how you're supposed to live. He was showing us how we're supposed to live. We fell pretty far. Our way of life fell pretty, 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 pretty far. It wasn't pretty, more like ugly, 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 ugly far. But Jesus, just like Jesus trained the 12, we too are getting trained. In Ephesians 4, go with me in your Bible, so Ephesians chapter 4. Just like Jesus, God wants to move through you just like he moved through Jesus. Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
Amen. So do I. So do I. I believe. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Are we the saints? Yes, we are. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For what purpose? Till we all of us, all of us, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the goal for each and every one of us. I like the Amplified Classic translation. It says, verse 13, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive, all of us, At really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. You and I, that's the goal for us. To what? To rise up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. And we can be, and we're supposed to be, just like him. How was Jesus able to do the things that he did? Oh, well, that's easy. He's the Son of God. He could do anything. Wrong. The Bible tells us that he stripped himself of all of his glory. In Philippians chapter 2, turn there with me. It'll be on the screen as well. In case some of you here are still, you know, thinking, oh, we can't be like Jesus. Come on. How can I be like Jesus? He's a Son of God. Yes, and so are you. And when he was here on this earth, he was a man just like you. And he was a human being just like you. And when I say man, I actually mean all of us, even women too. Okay, so don't think, what about us women? No, you're included in that as well. We are all men, well, sons of God, children of God. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is talking about Jesus. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. The NAS translation, just for that portion, he says he emptied himself. He made himself void. He stripped himself of all his glory. He made himself nothing and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, brought himself low, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he was here as a man, as a human being, just like you and just like me. And he was able to do the things that he did. God was able to move through him the way that he was able to because Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. It points out, it emphasizes his birthplace as a man. Not Jesus of heaven, not Jesus the Son of God, no, Jesus of Nazareth, where he grew up. Jesus, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus ministered on earth as a man anointed with the Spirit of God. And you and I can do what he did and greater. Not because I said it, because he said it. You remember we read it? We read how Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Jesus said those words about you, about us, about everyone who believes on him, who believes in him. The works that Jesus did while he was here on this earth, he did by the power of the Spirit of God, and we can too, and we're supposed to. Go with me. You're in Acts chapter 10, but go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And there is so much that we can talk about here, but that's why if you're not in Rhema, come to Rhema. But or keep coming Friday nights. Like we said, this is just the beginning of this series. If maybe some things are like, well, still a few question marks, keep coming. Keep coming. You'll receive more and more light as you continue to come and receive. But here in Acts chapter 1, and this is, in Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus' ascension. And he told his disciples to wait for that power that we're talking about. We said the way Jesus ministered on earth was as a man anointed with the Spirit of God. And before he left, before he ascended, after he was raised from the dead, before he ascended, he told his disciples to wait for that same power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Let's skip on down to verse 8. And he says, but ye shall receive power when? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Woohoo! That's us, right? And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So this is his ascension. And just before his ascension, he tells his disciples to wait for this power. Wait, he says, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And then in verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And that word power there that we see in verse 8 is from the Greek word dunamis. And the word dunamis is where we get the word dynamite from. Everyone know what a dynamite does? Yes. It's a pretty powerful stick, isn't it? Dynamites. So the word dunamis is the Greek word that is translated power here, and it means miraculous power and might and strength and ability. Dunamis. Jesus said to the disciples, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The same power that was on Jesus, the same power, that same power, Jesus told him to wait. Wait until you are endued with power from on high. That's actually Luke's account of Jesus' ascension. That is how he words it. Wait until you are endued with power from on high. So this is Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, this power that he's talking about, that the promise of the Father comes in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1, he's telling them, wait for the promise. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, are you there? It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. One sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everyone that was there in the upper room received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And verse 4 says that they were all filled, right? And they began to speak with other tongues. Right here, we are seeing the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus told them to wait for. Wait. Wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. This same power that we see being poured out here on the day of Pentecost is available for every believer. Every believer. And they only had to wait it then because he had not been poured out yet. But once he was poured out on the day of Pentecost, we don't have to wait anymore. We don't have to wait anymore. And I believe a lot of us here have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is, I have done life without it and done life with it. And with it is much better. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the power, is much better than without. Much better. But again, it's up to you. God's not going to force you to receive. No, you got to want to receive. Like I said, there's so much, but this is only the beginning. This is the first day of the series. There's more coming, so keep coming. What happened? What happened after they were endued with power? Remember, we said Jesus said, "He that believes on me, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these shall you do." And then so we looked at how did Jesus do the works that he did as a man anointed with the Spirit of God. Before he ascended, he told his disciples to wait for this power. Why? Because he knew he needed. He was a man just like they were. And he needed to be anointed to begin his earthly ministry. So he knew they needed the same power that he had on him. The same power that Jesus had on him is available to you and I. And so what happened after they were endued with power? Because we're seeing that happen in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. They're being endued with power. The promise of the Father has come. And so what happened after? Skip on down to verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. And we see right away in the next few verses, because this is same chapter, verse 14, Peter, full of the Holy Ghost and power, he started preaching like he had never preached before. Now, maybe he preached before this, but this day, this was different. The way Peter preached on this day was different. Why? Because now he was endued with power. Full of the Holy Ghost and full of power, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said unto them, and I wish we had time to read through his whole preaching, but we don't, but we are going to read some of it. He said, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And I shall come, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of that great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter was on fire. And he goes on. That's not the end of his message. He keeps on going. And I encourage you, if you have time to tonight, before you sleep, read through his entire sermon. Skip on down to verse 38. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" Glory to God. Verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost were added to the body of Christ. Glory to God. Man, did Peter preach or what? He preached full of the Holy Ghost, full of power. I mean, we know we've heard messages that are powerless, but a message that is powerful, yes? This was a powerful message. 3,000 people were saved, were added to them. Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, starts preaching the first salvation message, and 3,000 were saved. That was the first salvation message, but there's going to be a last salvation message, and it is very likely that someone in this room is going to be the one to give that last salvation message. And this harvest that we are all about, this harvest that Jesus, he said he looked out and he had compassion because the harvest was plentiful. This harvest, it was intended to be reaped by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way that we can reap this harvest, this end time harvest, without this power. We need to be powerful, to be endued with power from on high, just like the disciples, just like Jesus was. And he told them to wait. He told them to wait. And then ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, and this power is available to you and I today. Glory to God. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who added to the church? God did. You mean God came down and preached and added to the church and got people saved? No. He moved through man. But he gets the credit. He always gets the credit. Doesn't say, and Peter added to the church daily, and James and John added. No, God added to the church daily. And he, how was he able to? Through men who were anointed with the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Someone say, me too?
Me too.
Hallelujah. Yes, you too, and me too. And this was just the beginning, because remember, we're looking at what happened after they were endued with power from on high. Because Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his attention, expecting to receive something from them, you know, like no, that is what he was expecting. But then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I do give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Why was he praising God? Wasn't it Peter that took him by the right hand and raised him to his feet? Shouldn't he be praising Peter and John? Absolutely not. Peter and John couldn't heal a fly if they wanted to. This ex-lame man, because he's no longer lame, this ex-lame man was praising God because it was the power of God manifesting, flowing through Peter, that worked a miracle for him. Lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked before. Never walked before. And he didn't even need training. He didn't even need a walker to teach him how to walk. He got up and he started leaping and running and jumping and walking and praising God. How is that possible? Because Peter was such a great guy and you know. No, because of the power of God that was flowing through Peter. God moved, and he moved through a man who was anointed with his Spirit. And the way he's moving here is exactly the same way he wants to move through you today. for the rest of your life here on this earth. God wants to move through you. He does. Say, I believe it. And we know in verse chapter 4, we're coming to a close here tonight. In chapter 4, verse 1, as they spoke to the people, because of this miracle that happened, the priests heard about it. And here in verse 1, it says, chapter 4, verse 1, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, came upon them. Aren't you glad that we are the glad you sees? We're not the sad you sees. We're the glad you sees. I think I still see a few Sadducees, but that's okay. I'm believing by the end of tonight, everyone will be glad you sees. If you see a Sadducee on your way out the door, nudge him a little bit and say, hey, God wants to move through you, okay? And the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They weren't happy about that because they're very sad. And they laid hands on them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, I like verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Glory to God. Glory to God. 5,000. 3,000 on the first day, and then the next one, 5,000. 5,000. Glory to God. Does God want to move? Yes, he does. Right from the beginning of time, God has wanted to move for his people, to meet the needs of his people, to set people free, to heal the brokenhearted, to mend the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bound, to open blinded eyes, to open deaf ears. God wants to move. But he can't just move out here in the open. He has chosen to move through you, through man, through woman, through men and women who are anointed with the Spirit of God and willing to do whatever it takes to make God's dreams come true. God wants to move through you, always has and always will. It is the way he has chosen to manifest in this realm. God wants to move through you just like he was able to move through Jesus and Peter and Paul and Stephen and Brother Dunick and Pastor Akui. But he won't and he can't if we don't believe that he wants to. If we don't believe that he can. If we don't believe that we too can do the works that Jesus did and greater. We must believe. We must believe in Jesus. We must be saved. We must be endued with power from on high. And we must begin to rise up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because you can be just like him. We can be just like him. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. We'll never be greater than he is, but we can be just like him. Preach like him, love like him, heal like him, set free like him. That's who we're supposed to be. He came to show us who we're supposed to be. Thank you, Lord. There is a hurting world just outside your front door. All around you, there are people in need. And God wants to answer their questions. God wants to meet their needs. God wants to heal their broken bodies. God wants to mend their broken hearts. He wants to meet their needs through you. Yes, he wants to meet your needs too. He wants to heal you. He wants to mend your broken heart. But it shouldn't end there. When he heals you, you go out and heal others. Let him move through you just like he did with Jesus. John 14, verse 12. Again, our main text for this series. We'll end with this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Someone say, that's me. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. Let's all stand this evening. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We'll just sing this song, and then we'll give an opportunity in a little bit here. Actually, we'll give the opportunity now. Anyone here who has, with every eye closed and every head bowed, is there anyone in this room under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as the Lord of your life? The Bible says that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If anyone here has not made that decision and you'd like to tonight, if you'd please just raise your hand. We won't ask you to come to the front, but if you could just raise your hand where you are standing and just keep it up just for a little bit so we can see you. Anyone in here? Anyone? All right, well, praise God. Looks like everyone here has received salvation. Glory to God. We're all believers. We're all part of the body of Christ. Maybe you did make that decision a while ago, but you know in your heart that you have not been faithful with the commitment that you made to him as Lord of your life. And tonight you'd like to recommit yourself, rededicate all of you to him, make him the Lord of every part of your life. If that is you tonight, you'd like to recommit yourself to God, if you'd please raise your hand. Raise your hand. I see that one hand. Thank you. Two, three hands there. Four, five. Praise God. Six, seven. All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, let's all pray this prayer with our sisters and our brothers who have raised their hands. And let's all just recommit to God tonight from our hearts. Say this with me. Dear Lord, thank you for your mercy. Today, this 12th day of February, 2021, I recommit, I rededicate all that I am to you. I ask you, Jesus, to be the Lord of every part of my life. I am yours. My will is to do your will. Move through me however you want. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you can just finish off that prayer with your own words to God. He is loving you. He is loving on you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing, Oh, the Glory.
Oh, the glory is here. Yes, the glory is here. I can sense His mighty presence. Just reach out and receive and say it's mine. I take it now. Let's sing it again. Oh, the glory, oh, the glory.
tonight. If you have a need in your body, the Bible says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you came tonight with a need in your body and you would like for hands to be laid on you, then now is your opportunity to please come to the front and I'll meet you over here and pray with you, believe with you. But I ask that if you are going to come, come believing. Come believing and come looking to Jesus. He is the healer. God is the healer. So we're going to sing again. And if you would like to come to the front and have hands laid on you, please do so while we are singing. Oh, the glory.
Oh, the glory is here.
Yes, the glory.
Yes, the glory is here. I can sense His mighty presence in the very atmosphere.
So whatever.
Just reach out
and receive. whatever you may need.
So whatever you may need,
you can just reach out.
You can just reach out.
You have a need in your life, whatever it may be. We're going to sing that again, and you take it by faith. You take what it is that you are believing God for. Oh, thank you, Lord.
So whatever you may need,
you can just reach out.
You can just reach out.
Whatever it is that you took, do not let it go. Do not let it go. No matter how long it takes for you to see it manifest in this realm, you hold on to it. Be like Abraham, who did not waver at the promise. If God says in his word that it's for you, then it's yours. You've taken it. Hold on to it. Do not let it go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we give you all glory and honor and praise. Thank you for your word tonight. Father, I ask that you continue to remind us tonight as we go our separate ways. Remind us of how much you want to move through us. And, Lord, we avail ourselves to you. Thank you that you're helping us to become more aware of your will, to become more aware of your voice. Each and every day, become more aware of your Holy Spirit, your indwelling presence. Continue to lead and guide us, Father, as we go our separate ways tonight. Thank you that you keep us. We don't doubt that we are protected and kept by you. Thank you, Father. We give you all of the glory, all of the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Amen and amen. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you on behalf of our leaders for joining us this evening. We'll have our Sunday service at 10 a.m. if you'd like to join us. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. Next week, we'll be back here on Friday at 7.